Good evening, everyone. I'm Linor Mudu. Welcome to Health Chat. The World Health Organization says 1.4 million people died of tuberculosis in 2015. TB is the leading cause of death in people living with HIV. Only 52% of multi-drug-resistant TB patients and 28% of extensively drug-resistant TB patients are successfully being treated. Tuberculosis is a great concern for people infected with HIV, as I mentioned earlier. And globally, the numbers of infection of TB and HIV are really of concern. We will discuss TB today, and joining us via phone from New York City is Dr. Mel Spiegelman, President and Chief Executive Officer of the TB Alliance. Dr. Spiegelman, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
It's great to have you with us.
Oh, it's great to be asked to do this. I really appreciate the attention that you're giving to TB.
Yes, I mean, when we look at the statistics, it's really, really raising concern. It's disconcerting to see how many people are still infected and affected, because when we think about tuberculosis, it's such an old disease that you won't even think that it's still so prevalent.
Oh, yeah, no, it's an ancient disease, but unfortunately, it is still extremely prevalent. The reason that it doesn't get the attention that it really deserves based on how prevalent it is and how dangerous and extensive it is because it really is a disease of the poor. Mm. And wherever you look around the world, it's predominantly in relatively poorer countries. And in those countries, it affects predominantly the poor. And I think to a great extent, that is one of the reasons why it has not received the attention that it really needs.
So when we look at the statistics and the global outlook on tuberculosis in terms of infection, what can you tell us? I know you mentioned that it's prevalent it's more prevalent in low-income countries. Can you tell us a little more about that in terms of where people are more affected?
Yeah. So clearly, as noted in your introduction, that this is a disease that especially hits hard people who are immunosuppressed or whose immune systems aren't working well. And obviously, one of those categories are patients with HIV infection. And so clearly, if you do have HIV infection, you have a markedly increased chance of contracting TB and getting sick. But that also applies to people with other diseases that could cause immunosuppression. It also affects more predominantly diabetics and people who smoke a lot. But predominantly, what really is a mainstay around the world is that people who have poor socioeconomic conditions, people who live in crowded housing, poor ventilation, those are the people where not only do they have a higher likelihood of getting it, but especially then of spreading it to other family members or to other people that they come in close contact with.
So how can people prevent themselves?
Well, it really is extremely difficult to protect yourself, because it really is spread by airborne contact. And you really don't know when you're in contact with someone else who may have TB, and basically you're breathing the same air that they're breathing, because it is spread through droplets when people exhale or they cough, and then other people can get it. Now, it does require more contact usually than simply, you know, sort of sitting next to somebody for a brief period of time. Mm-hmm. And that's why it mostly is spread in places like homes, schools, or jails especially, where people really are forced to be in close contact with others for a prolonged period of time. But there is no good way, unfortunately, to really protect yourself.
And when we look at treatment of tuberculosis nowadays, there is something that is really coming into the news, and it seems like to be a great challenge in treatment of tuberculosis, which is drug-resistant TB. Can you tell us a little more about that, and why is this happening?
Yeah, sure. So first of all, treatment of all TB is difficult. So even treatment of non-resistant TB, which means that it's not resistant to any of the drugs that it's available today, means that patients still have to go through therapy for 6 months at a minimum, taking multiple drugs every day with multiple side effects potentially. Now, if they do that religiously, they still have a very high probability of cure, but it's difficult even for what's called drug-sensitive TB. Then, if the patient or if the TB strain that someone's infected with is resistant to the drugs that are in the first line of therapy, so to speak, especially two of them called rifampicin and isoniazid, and they have drug-resistant TB, now we're talking about treatment that takes a year or 2 years or even longer.
Wow.
Results in cure rates that are at most 50% and can be as low as 15%, and includes injections every day for 6 months or so, and with really very, very serious side effects that could include things like deafness, psychosis, in addition to, the more typical nausea, vomiting, and just feeling sick from the medications. So to keep doing this for a couple of years, day in and day out, is really unbelievably difficult for patients. And the reason that we're in such a horrible situation is because it is such a neglected disease, and until recently there was almost no work being done for decades on finding new treatments for tuberculosis. So you can imagine, until a few years ago, where the newest treatment for TB that was approved happened about 40 or 50 years ago.
Wow.
So think about any other disease that we know of, and if we were forced to treat it with treatments that were only available 50 years ago, that would not be a very good situation for any disease. And that's the situation that we have or have had for TB, and a large part of that is because it does affect the poor so predominantly that there really is not a commercial marketplace that affords good profit margin for companies to develop new TB therapies. And therefore, the vast majority of them have not gotten engaged in developing new TB drugs.
So what is your take then on the pressing needs in terms of research and development?
We really need research and development really across the whole spectrum of what we call new tools for TB. We certainly need new TB therapies. We need drugs that work much, much quicker than what the presently available treatments work. We need drugs that are safer, more effective, have less side effects, and basically we need a modern arsenal of TB therapies. But we also need much better diagnostic tests, because it can be very difficult to diagnose TB or to know what the appropriate therapy should be. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, it would be great if we could get a vaccine that was truly effective in preventing people from getting TB.
So what would you consider the most challenging presently in the fight against TB? Will it be the TB-HIV co-infection or drug resistance or perhaps the lack of better treatment?
Well, frankly, I think the biggest challenge in TB is a lack of political will on the part of governments and others to solve the problem. The problem is so multifaceted and so immense that we really need a concerted effort from those in power and those in a position to dedicate the resources that are going to be necessary to turn this around and to really make it a priority, because it can be done if, in fact, the resources are put behind it. And it's not a question of TB in HIV patients versus multidrug-resistant TB versus one modality of therapy versus another. It's a question of mounting a really an adequate response commensurate with the problem and putting the resources behind it and then making sure that the healthcare systems will deliver these to the people who need them. That's really what the biggest problem is.
Okay. So, Dr. Spiegelman, tell us about the work of the TB Alliance, the organization that you are spearheading.
So, we are a not-for-profit organization, and our mission is really focused on discovering, developing, and then delivering to the patients who need them new TB treatments that will have a significant major impact on the epidemic. So what we work with multiple partners around the world in all variety of countries, especially those in where TB is endemic, to really, first of all, work together to get new science and to get new drugs, and then to make sure that they're affordable and they reach the patients who need them. So that really, in a nutshell, is what the TB Alliance is all about. And obviously, we were formed because the private sector and the commercial sector simply was not fulfilling this need.
So then what is the response in terms of how the partners are collaborating with you?
Well, we have excellent partnerships really across the spectrum, including private pharmaceutical companies, academic institutions, governments, laboratories around the world. So we have a huge number of really, or a large number of really dedicated and excellent partners. But still, there really is not even nearly a fraction of the amount of resources available for us together with our partners to do the work that's necessary to be done.
What type of impact have you witnessed since the Alliance has been established?
Well, I would, you know, sort of point out two things. One is that about 12 to 16 months ago, we, together with a variety of partners, introduced for the first time the appropriate dosed and appropriately formulated TB therapy for children who really cannot, are too young or can't take the regular pills. And we, with sponsorship from Unitaid, USAID, and others, worked with pharmaceutical companies to develop the appropriate formulations, which means that you can take a pill that's the exact right size for children, just drop it into water, it dissolves, it has a pleasant taste, and children can drink it. And that's their TB therapy. Whereas before, this just wasn't available, and mothers or caregivers had to break pills up, try to crush them, they have a horrible taste, and then try to get a baby or a young child to take this. And I would note that there's probably about a million cases of TB in children every year. Mm-hmm. And over the past year, there have been already enough of these new TB treatments sold to really take care of over half of the diagnosed TB in children. So it really has been a major success thus far by actually developing something that is really needed in TB therapy, making it affordable. And I would note the cost of treatment for these new medications for children for 6 months of treatment is a little bit over $15 for the full 6 months. So being able to do that and actually get it to where the patients are really can make a huge difference.
Absolutely.
Similarly, we're on the verge of new therapies for adults and children that could take the treatment time for multidrug-resistant TB down from 2 years or so even to 4 to 6 months and do away with any need anymore for injectables. And we still need the resources to do another study to prove that. But these are the sorts of things that are on the horizon.
That's great, and this is a nice way to leave it to say goodbye. Dr. Mel Spiegelman, we thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you very much.
Wonderful. And that was Dr. Mel Spiegelman, President and Chief Executive Officer of the TB Alliance. Now it's time for a short break. Before we do that, we're going to have the news with Monique Winger.
It's a drug called Tetazolid, and it is a promising drug compound that has been stalled in development for a number of years. It had just passed phase one.
Thank you, Lenore. Well, today marks the final day of the three-day campaign, during which more than 116 million children have been vaccinated against polio across West and Central Africa in a drive to contain an outbreak of the disease in conflict-stricken Northeast Nigeria. Fighting between Boko Haram and the Nigerian army has caused mass displacement, raising fears the polio outbreak could spread across borders and throughout the region. After 2 years in which polio appeared to be beaten in Africa, Nigeria reported 4 cases last August, casting a shadow over global eradication hopes. A total of 190,000 vaccinators have fanned out across 13 countries, going door to door to vaccinate every single child under 5 years old. In other news, spinach is known as a superfood for its nutritional value, but a new experiment reveals another power of the green leaf. Researchers say they've grown beating human heart cells on spinach leaves using the vascular network of the plant to transport fluids. For the experiment, researchers first stripped plant cells from spinach leaves and passed beads the size of human blood cells through the leftover vascular system and seeded the spinach veins with human cells that line our blood vessels. The scientists say the finding could eventually lead to being able to grow working human cardiac tissue that could one day be used to replace heart cells damaged by heart attacks. And finally, Nigerian officials say an outbreak of meningitis in several states of Nigeria has killed at least 140 people. The Abuja Center for Disease Control says meningitis has been reported over the last week in 6 states and has so far infected more than 1,000 people. Meningitis causes an acute inflammation of the outer layers of the brain and spinal cord and can be prevented with vaccination. However, the Nigerian Ministry of Health says a new strain is now prevalent in Nigeria and requires a different type of vaccine. Nigeria lies on the meningitis belt stretching from the Sahel region to the Horn of Africa, where outbreaks occur regularly. I'm Monique Wingo, and that's a wrap-up of your latest health news.
Welcome back. For those of you joining us late tonight, we are discussing tuberculosis. Well, in an effort to improve the international response to combating multi-drug-resistant TB, the Medicines Patent Pool, MPP, announced recently its first license for tuberculosis treatment. The UN-backed public health organization has teamed up with Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, Maryland. Together, they will facilitate the clinical development of the TB drug candidate, Sutezolid. VOA's Kim Lewis spoke with Chan Park, General Counsel of the Medicines Patent Pool, about why urgent action is needed to advance the development of the drug.
It's a drug called Tetazolid, and it is a promising drug compound that has been stalled in development for a number of years. It had just passed phase one studies and just started phase 2A studies before the development was stalled as a result of the transfer of the rights from Pfizer to a company called Sequela. This is a promising compound for TB treatment, particularly for something called drug-resistant TB, which does not respond to the conventional TB treatments. And there is a pressing need in global health to develop newer and better drugs for drug-resistant tuberculosis, as current treatment requires over 2 years of treatment, tens of thousands of pills, painful injections for months at a time. So there's a desperate need in the global health space to develop new and better treatments for TB. And unfortunately, the current landscape is that private companies are not investing the amount of money that's necessary to develop new TB drugs because of the unattractive market, given that most of the people who have TB live in poorer countries in the developing world.
So the partnership that you all will have with Johns Hopkins University will allow you to be able to speed up the process of potentially getting this treatment on the market?
That is the intention. This is the first step in a series of subsequent steps that will have to happen before the drug is further developed and then hopefully approved and considered safe and effective for the treatment of TB. Our next step after this would be to seek drug developers, whether they be private actors or nonprofit organizations, who are willing to take a license from the medicine's patent pool to develop the work further. As I mentioned, it's stuck in phase two clinical trials, so there's still quite a bit of investment that needs to be put into conducting further clinical trials to prove that sutazolid in combination with other TB compounds is safe and effective in treating tuberculosis.
As is pointed out in your press release, TB is still one of the top 10 causes of death worldwide. So you think it's because it's in developing countries is why it's not such a top priority?
That's unfortunately been the case, not just in TB, but along a number of what are often called neglected diseases. The current system that we have for incentivizing drug research and development relies on there being a market for it. For diseases that affect both the rich world and the developing world equally. For example, there's significant burden of HIV in both the rich countries and poorer countries. So there is quite a robust pipeline of new HIV drugs coming down the pipeline. In the case of TB, it's a very, very different situation where it just in the low and middle income countries and the high income countries account for 98% of all global TB incidents, and 95% are in developing countries, in low and middle income countries. So the commercial attractiveness for a drug developer is not the same as is the case in HIV or cancer or diabetes and the like of diseases that are more prevalent in high income countries.
Once the treatment does reach the marketplace, how will patients in Africa, for instance, how will they benefit from it, and how will they be able to access the treatment?
It is our hope that whoever successfully develops the drug, the model of the medicine's patent pool is to engage in non-exclusive licensing, so to license for manufacture and sale to multiple manufacturers so that those manufacturers compete with one another in bringing drug prices down. We have seen this work very effectively in the case of HIV, which is the core area that started our work. There are multiple drug manufacturers, generic companies for the most part, compete with one another, and that results in dramatic reductions in costs as compared to what the originator charges in high-income countries. And our expectation is that if and when the drug is successfully developed, we will license it to multiple parties. They will compete with one another in achieving the lowest possible sustainable price for the drug.
Great. That was Kim Lewis speaking with Chan Park from MPP about a new drug that is in development. Now we go to Kenya, where fighting tuberculosis in children became easier thanks to a new drug that hit the market in October 2016. VOA's Lenny Ruvaga reports in Nairobi.
12-year-old Ryan Mutigo has been taking a cocktail of tuberculosis medicine ever since he can remember. Today in Nairobi, he is all smiles. Kenya's government has just launched a child-friendly TB medicine which dissolves in water, making it easier for kids to take.
Most children are not able to take in those pills, and when they are crushed, most of the particles are not taken, and that they have not taken the full dose.
Until now, health workers have had to cut up bitter-tasting pills to get the right doses for kids. The Global TB Alliance says that has contributed to treatment failure and death in children. The new TB medicine tastes sweet. It comes in flavors like strawberry.
It's easy, friendly, and tasty, nice, and I think all children will be happy for it. TB is treatable. No child should die of TB.
Tuberculosis is an infectious bacterial disease that affects the lungs. It is preventable and curable, but the World Health Organization says in 2014, TB infected 1 million children worldwide and killed 140,000. Kenya's Ministry of Health recorded 7,000 cases of TB in children and infants last year. The child-friendly medicines will be offered for free in Kenya starting the 1st of October, and Dr. Enos Massini of the Ministry of Health told VOA the government will ensure it will reach those in need.
We've had challenges in childhood TB control. Access to this formulation for our children is going to be possible. We're going to ensure that more children who are diagnosed to have TB are able to access, are able to be initiated on this new formulation.
But advocates say other hurdles exist. Irene Kamau is the executive director of Action Now Kenya.
We still have a challenge. We have the medication, but it's not all the children, especially those from the poor backgrounds, that will access the medicine because they may not have proper diagnosis on the basis that they need to pay for the chest X-ray.
The development of the improved child-friendly treatment took 3 years. It was funded by UNITAID, a global health initiative, which gave the TB Alliance a grant of $16 million. So far, 20 other countries have ordered the child-friendly medicines and are planning to roll them out in their respective areas. Lenny Ruvaga for VOA News, Nairobi.
And that was Lenny Ruvaga reporting on a new treatment to treat children infected with tuberculosis. And our guest, Dr. Mel Spiegelman, mentioned that treatment earlier during our discussion. It's really encouraging to see that there are efforts being made to ease the pain and suffering of tuberculosis patients globally. And that's the time we have for this edition of Health Chat. We would like to thank today's guest, Dr. Mel Spiegelman, President and Chief Executive Officer of the TB Alliance. For more on today's show, log on to our website at voanews.com, and you can also keep the conversation going on our Facebook page. It is facebook.com/VOA Health Chat. And you can send us your questions or comments at healthchat@voanews.com. I'm your host, Lenor Mudu, in Washington, with producer Jackson Vunganyi, and with the news, Monique Wingo, and engineer Wojtek Zorniak. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.
Savor the flavor of African music. I'm Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Tune in, feast your ears, and dig in to an hour of amazing Pan-African music, featured interviews, and music news. Music Time in Africa, Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC.